I've listened to so much crap in the last 2 weeks.
Hey, buddy.
You know, you hear all that crap, but I understood that that crap was going to come with the territory.
Hey, buddy.
But I'll live with the crap.
Buddy.
And I feel very good.
He's a disgruntled Scottish guard known for his lethal temper and his unusual eating habits. He weighs a metric ton. His name? Fat Bastard.
One of the things, Mike, that's been pointed out over the course of today and last night after the game is that you seem resigned to the fate after the game, that there wasn't much fire in you, and you sort of stood up before the media and said, well, you know, this is the way it is. Are you resigned to this fate?
You're the same guy that wrote about me when I did have the fire, that was the wrong thing to do. So who are you crapping?
Well, I'm just
don't
asking.
Don't crap me now. No.
Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little
maybe blowing you off your chair.
And it is indeed time for our signature segment, Who Ya Crabbin', Boris and Bernstein. And, as always, limit this to something someone said, not something someone did. And do not go too long, otherwise, yeah.
It's back.
Thing.
Yeah, it's back.
It's back.
Yeah, the cow launcher has been put away, and Danny and the show feels comfortable doing other horrible things to you if you deserve it. And wow, there's two lines open, 312-644-6767, if you want to jump on in. But we will start with Gary in Evanston on Who You Crapping on the Score.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, Gary.
Gary.
I'm thrilled that Quentin Tarantino dressed Jamie Foxx's Django character in a Little Joe green jacket as a tribute to Michael Landon. Anyway, that's true. Anyway, during her 10 o'clock Christmas shopping news report the Sunday night before Christmas, Channel 7's Evelyn Holmes actually said, quote, last-minute folks shopping got a bit of a reprieve this year. Remember, Christmas usually falls on a weekend, but this year it's falling on a Tuesday. Well, as Christmas is always December 25th, and as weekends only make up 2 of the 7 days in a week, I must ask Evelyn Holmes, who are you crapping?
This is one from Simple Joe's. Says it's his first crap.
Good luck with your first crap.
While watching NIU Florida State, we were treated to the genius of Matt Millen.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
His commentary wasn't too bad, but Millen and his counterpart mentioned several times that Jordan Lynch was from the south side of Chicago, as if this made him grow up tough. Matt Millen decided he would go further and said he grew up on the south side, the baddest part of town. Sounds great. Similar to another famous Chicago athlete, Derrick Rose, who grew up on the south side in Englewood. Jordan Lynch grew up in Mount Greenwood. I'm not saying that people from Mount Greenwood aren't tough or it even matters where he's from, but it's a median family income of $69,000 and since 2007, zero homicides. So Mount Greenwood is probably not considered the baddest part of town when compared to Englewood, which has the median family income of $22,000 and 120 homicides since 2007. Matt Millen, who you crapping?
Yeah, we had a little in the Northwestern game, too, where Pat Fitzgerald is from Sandberg High School in Tinley Park.
Orland Park.
Oh, no.
And actually, I think Matt Millen was probably quoting Jim Croce and Bad, Bad Leroy Brown.
Yeah,
right?
He probably was, but, you know, wrong is still wrong in this country.
Chris in Deerfield, you're on Who You Crapping on the Score.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
This crap goes out to Jerry Greco. Last Friday on your CBS Sports Minute, you discussed the NFL coaching hot seats, and you let out Biff Gem. I can't imagine anyone who would want to take a job where they would likely be fired. Well, call me imaginary, but I sure would like a job that paid me millions of dollars to coach football. Jerry, please ask yourself two questions. Who would want a job where you get crapped on in 60 seconds or less to your money back? Oh, and who are you crapping?
Thank you, Chris. Here is one from Scott. For Cardinal Francis George. Cardinal George issued a letter Tuesday calling laws permitting same-sex marriage a legal fiction. In the same correspondence, he directed the local Catholic faithful to contact state legislators about a proposed Illinois gay marriage bill. In the letter, Cardinal George stated that same-sex marriage was, quote, acting against the common good of society. We will all have to pretend to accept something that is contrary to the common sense of the human race, end quote. Let's turn back the clock to the summer of 2008. At that time, Cardinal George released the transcript of his deposition taken in the litigation surrounding the Archdiocese's sexual abuse scandal. In that deposition, it became clear that Cardinal George, one, worked to reduce the 20-year prison sentence of a convicted child molester, Norbert Madde. Two, repeatedly refused to follow recommendations and promptly remove abusive Chicago priests from ministry. Three, appeared deeply conflicted between his concern for children and his duty to defend accused priests. Four, believed that at the time of his ascension to becoming Chicago's archbishop in 1997, that sexual abuse by clergy was mostly a thing of the past. Five, that when Daniel McCormick was arrested in January 2006, said, we thought this was done, or at least contained. And six, had knowledge that the vicar for priests, Reverend Edward D. Grace, and auxiliary bishop George J. Rassus withheld information about these abuse allegations. So, Cardinal George, let's get this straight. The systemic rape and abuse of children and the destruction of dozens or even hundreds of childhoods that is ignored, hidden, and perpetuated by the church is somehow acceptable. But legally recognizing the desire of two loving, committed people to join together as spouses is acting against the common good of society and will require us to pretend to accept something contrary to the common sense of the human race. Got it. Cardinal George, two questions. First, have you applied to become the official chaplain for the Pennsylvania legislature? And second, who you crapping?
I thought exactly the same thing. I didn't remember all of those, but yeah. Yep, Cardinal. Cardinal.
Claude and Wilmette, Cardinal. You're on the score.
Hi, guys.
Hello,
Claude.
I firmly believe that coyotes are more intelligent than Bob's.
Well, they know how to stop at a stoplight in Chicago. We know that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, anyway, in Sunday Sun Times, when asked about Brian Urlacher's contract limbo, part of Duck Coach Mike Ditka's response was, if he wants another year, you have to give it to him. Coach, in order to win, you have to pay for future performance, not past glory, as it has become painfully obvious that Urlacher's glory days are 3 years gone. For the love of G-O-D, please stop writing while Ditka. Mike, you orange-faced self-parody, who are you crapping?
Yeah, I'm telling you, thanks for Clint. I mean, when you look at the kids, here's what you got to do. If you really want a good laugh, you got to read the four thoughts from Dick in Sundays. I mean, it is unbelievable.
He's not even trying.
He's
anymore.
Like caught in a capsule somewhere.
He's not even trying.
I mean,
there's just nothing going on there.
Oh my God.
All right, somebody drops off. You jump on 312-644-6767. There's room for you.
Yipes.
This one here from Steven, who says, this goes out to Fox New York morning show anchor Rosanna Scotto. Having to travel during the holidays is a nightmare, and taking the earliest possible flight out of New York, we had complimentary TV channels, New York's local channels, so I'm watching Good Day New York. It's a typical cooking segment with their special guest cook, and the topic was eating healthy and what fruits and vegetables can do to help you live healthier. As they made their way through the produce pile, the cook picked up a radish, and the cook went on to say radishes are great to help with digestion and weight loss, but their price is going up due to the supply being down. This is when Rosanna Scotto said, well, I guess that's what happens when there's less radish trees out there.
Oh, no. I was afraid that was going there.
Yes. Yes, of course. That must be the reason for radish famine, because there's no such thing as a radish tree. A radish is a root vegetable. It does not grow on trees. Rosanna Scotto, who are you crapping? Northside Pimp, you're on who you crapping on the score.
Happy New Year, players. What's the deal?
Happy New Year, Pimp.
My dog. Listen, this crap is for Jerry Jones, who came out and said that basically people are going to be uncomfortable up at Valley Ranch, and the only way to break out of a cycle is to do something unconventional. No, the only way to break out of a cycle is to stop trading three draft picks, including a first and a third, for that gay-ass Roy Williams, and stop signing guys like Pac-Man Jones and other Roy Williams. James Jones, you fake plastic-ass bastard. Who are you crapping?
Thank you, pimp.
Hawkeye 41 has one here for Ray Lewis. It says, when announcing his retirement, Ravens linebacker Ray Lewis said the following. God is calling. My children have made the ultimate sacrifice for their father for 17 years. I don't want to see them do that no more. I've done what I wanted to do in this business, and now it's my turn to give them something back. He continued his line of exaggerated importance by saying, I always promised my son that if he got a full ride on scholarship, Daddy's going to be there. I can't miss that. Wow, where to begin? Well, god-awful grammar aside, the idea that your children have made the ultimate sacrifice is so hyperbolic it makes Hawk Harrelson sound like Walter Cronkite. And secondly, telling your college-age son that Daddy's going to be there just set him up for a freshman hazing of epic proportions. Also, your promise had a condition that your son needed to get a full ride for you to attend games? And I thought Ward Cleaver was demanding. And a little rough on the beaver. Thirdly, saying that it's your turn to give them something back implies that none of your $5 million a year salary or enormous pile of endorsement money has been spent on their well-being. Ultimate sacrifice indeed. Fourthly, turn down the full ride and pay for your son's education, you million-dollar having scholarship-hogging assbag. And finally, God is calling, Ray. It's a prank call. Who you crapping? Shane in Rockford, you're on the score.
Hello, boys.
Hello.
This be my first crap in my. I think it was still Shane in Sycamore 8 years ago. So
good luck with your first crap.
Wow. Yeah. So this crap goes out to the High Priest Lord of Pennsylvania, Tom Corbett, who, in his chance at the pulpit yesterday to defend the pristine Penn State University, talked about how Jerry Sandusky's actions and then the cover up of had not affected the fairness or integrity of the playing field, and therefore, that was part of the reason the NCAA should have never taken action. Well, Tom, I don't know what kind of recruiting visits you sat in on, but if a coach came into my kid's room and I'd known that he'd covered up a serial pedophile and child rapist for many, many years, I might have a hard time sending him off to play for that guy. So perhaps had you done your job as AG, any point in the past 5 years, the sole image of Penn State wouldn't have been the perfectly clean white helmet. It may have been a helmet of another kind. Tom Corbett, who the hell are you crapping?
That's where in the midst of who you crapping, 312-644-6767. Come on, jump on in our signature segment. Morris and Bernstein, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And we are in the midst of who you crapping, and as always on Boris and Bernstein, here's what we're looking for, the big finish.
And if you call in and you're cogent and not a complete idiot, yeah, you're going to get a chance to get on the air here, because we do there have a couple go. Open lines at 312-644-6767. Sarcastic Mike says this goes out to college basketball commentator Dan Dockich. During this week's Indiana-Iowa game, while discussing the type of high-quality individual that Tom Crean has recruited in his rebuilding of the Indiana program, Dan said, quote, the previous staff had no clue about any of that. Well, do you happen to recall who was the director of basketball operations on that same previous clueless staff? Yes, that would be you, Dan Dockich. Dan, you're bald, clueless blowhard. Who you crapping? It's our old buddy Terry in Cal City on who you crapping on the score.
Hey, how you doing, guys? This is my first crap.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Good luck with your first crap.
Okay, this crap goes out to Alshon Jeffrey, who last Thursday when asked by Lawrence Holmes, said that he learned his route running skills from Devin Hester. So, I mean, Alshon. Alshon, what's next on the syllabus? In ethics and sports course taught by Lance Armstrong, what's next?
This is going great.
So?
So?
Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, you're crapping.
You're crapping. You got to put the finish on there. You got to do that. The bishop in Hinsdale says, with due respect to Lawrence Holmes, this past Sports Sunday gave us plenty of who you crapping material. It wasn't Mike Adamley referring to Dan Hampton as Stan that shocked me. or
it's like Jason and Edwin.
Or Hampton proclaiming that a Bears coaching change would cost $50 million in lost coaches' salaries. That was surprising. The winning quote came from our friend Peggy Kaczynski. Reporting from Hallis Hall, speculating about a Bears coaching change, she said, Chairman George McCaskey wants to win, and he wants to win now. They want to give their mother, Virginia McCaskey, one more championship, and at 89 years old, time is running out.
Oh,
God. Jeez, Peggy, there's all things we think, but we're not going to say on television. As much as we know that Virginia's lack of presence one day could bring massive change to the organization, you don't have to speak of her like she's in an ambulance on the way to hospice. Time is always running out on someone, no matter their age. Peggy, who you crapping? And Bishop, no, there aren't going to be massive changes. That's kind of the point. The massive changes have been made already.
Looking like continuity.
Yeah, Beard is next on the score.
Hello, buddy.
Hi.
Oh, Beard.
Hello.
Bye, Cracky.
Happy New Year, by the way.
Me too.
Anyway, this crap is for Doug Gottlieb, who just said on the last CBS Sports Minute how important it was for people to exercise the right to vote, because after all, that's what our founding fathers fought for men, for women, for anyone 18 and older. Well, not quite, Doug, because, see, back on founding Father's Day, it was more like the right to vote for white men who owned property. And I think the voting age was just a little bit older back then, too. Doug, you're not very good at a lot of things, and history is one of those things that you're not very good at. So just, actually, just stop talking and who you crap it.
In an effort to bring levity to Americans who continue to try and shake off the horrors...
Oh, no, they don't.
No, that's taking them off.
No, don't kid yourself. He did say that, too. That's exactly what he said about men, women, yep. Children, they're all for the vote. Yeah. No, no. Doug.
This from Pat Summit's jock, who says,
oh, God.
It goes out to Daryl Johnston, who, while describing Sunday's Bears-Lions contest in which Calvin Johnson was defended by Charles Tillman, he said, those are two Pro Bowl starters there. I can't wait to see them get after it in the Pro Bowl. Moose, nobody gets after it in the Pro Bowl ever. You should know this. You were the first ever fullback selected to the Pro Bowl and played in two of them. Who'd you go after? Pat Swilling? Reggie White? And even if they hated each other, which they don't, they couldn't go after one another. They're playing on the same damn team. You were currently announcing the only game in which they will get after each other. Moose, I know the act of engaging in any conversation with Tony Siragusa literally makes you more stupid, but that is no excuse to forget that players in the same division are also in the same conference. Who you crapping? Steve is on the score. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This goes out to Les Grofstein, who at 2:30 in the morning a couple nights ago engaged a caller on the merits of the Manny Pacquiao Juan Manuel Marquez fight, and Les proclaimed that it was a win for the Mexicans who were able to get revenge for the Alamo. Well, Les, the Mexicans did win the Alamo, so Mr. Grofstein, who are you?
Find that. We gotta find that, Chris. Gotta find that.
He had the alternate Alamo outcome. I think old Davy Crockett and Jim Bowie might want revenge somehow.
Yeah, is San Antonio in the Philippines?
I love Les. Les is the best, man.
North Side, it's Ben Bass and Beyond on the score.
First call, longtime listener and friend of Danny's, but first call and first crap.
Good luck with your first crap.
Okay, my crap goes out to Daniel Bernstein himself. As a very bright guy, the son of two very bright parents whom I know, a Duke University alumnus, and more importantly, an alumnus of North Star Camp for Boys in Hayward, Wisconsin. Danny, surely you must know that it's not who you crappin', it's whom you crappin'.
Yep, that's definitely one of your friends. Or a relative. I mean, it's, no doubt about that. Could be friend, more likely relative.
It's boring. Yeah, you're boring, everybody.
Yeah.
Quit boring, everyone.
Oh, man, meet his cousins. Oh, boy. Dopey and grumpy, you're back. All right, that's fine.
This is from Trent, who says... When the Bears explained Lovie Smith's firing, Phil Emery sounded very un-Bears-like with an intelligent, analytical approach to running a football team, but we can't say the same for George McCaskey. Because when talking about Lovie's tenure, he said he didn't just teach our players football, he taught them how to become men. George, this is the same tired stereotype of a football coach when in the past year we had to listen to the Joe Paterno supporters with their counter-arguments saying similar things, teaching players life skills that they somehow never learned before football. George, it's a professional football team. The name of the game is winning, and that's it. I'm sorry. I don't care if Lovie or whomever else teaches these guys about anything but football. They're already grown men. The average age of the Bears coming into this season was 27. These guys have wives and kids at home. Let Phil Emery do the talking, George. Who you crapping? Sam in Wrigleyville, you're on the score.
Hey, guys, this is my first crap.
Good luck with your first crap.
This goes out to Kirk Herbstreit, who during the Rose Bowl, when there was a break in the action, Brent Musburger said, that there would be Northern Illinois playing against Florida State later in the evening. Kirk responded and said, well, it should be a pretty competitive game. Kirk, this is the same matchup that you said NIU didn't deserve to be a part of because of how badly they were going to be beaten. Which one is it, you sorry drip of an announcer? Kirk Herbstreit, who are you crapping?
I didn't catch that. Okay.
Agnostic Evangelist says... Tom Corbett announced a federal suit filed by the state of Pennsylvania seeking to overturn the penalties levied against Penn State by the NCAA. In 2009, Tom Corbett, then Attorney General, convened a grand jury to investigate longstanding allegations of child sex abuse by Jerry Sandusky. Later in 2009, Corbett decided to run for governor. 2010, Corbett successfully runs for governor. Jerry Sandusky remains free to roam the locker rooms of central Pennsylvania. No indictment yet. July 2011, Corbett, as governor, approves a $3 million grant to Sandusky's Second Mile Foundation, a repository for Sandusky's abuse victims. Still, no indictment. July 2012, the scandal's exposed, the independent investigators come in, and Corbett encourages the Penn State Board of Trustees, of which he is a member, to accept all the sanctions and penalties levied by the NCAA instead of facing the death penalty. January 2013, he announces the lawsuit. This latest step of idiocy in the litany of the Penn State sex abuse scandal does break some new ground. It broadens the sickening stench of moral deficiency from the university and its loyal supporters to the entire state of Pennsylvania. It was executed by the highest elected official of the state. Clearly, Penn State University has failed to produce alumni who can think critically and make decisions informed by anything resembling decency or morality. Penn State University can turn out football players and teachers and engineers and agribusiness people, but responsible, enlightened citizens, not so much. Tom Corbett, go away. Take your university, your soulless state, and leave. Who you crapping? Time to check the manometer.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, it's been a while for me. He is ready to burst. And, you know, I found another place. It's a lot like the other my previous place, but it's a place I like.
Manassas.
No, Man United.
Oh, that's not a place, though.
I know.
That's a team.
I know.
Manchester would be the place. Either way, Tim.
But I can't say Manchester.
In McHenry, we'll close out who you're crapping on the score.
All right. What's up, guys? Hey, it's my first crap.
Good luck with your first crap.
This crap goes out to Tony Siragusa, who, during the Bears game, remarked on a cut by Matt Forte that it made his ankles hurt. Goose. Your gut is what's making your ankle hurt.
You make us wonder with the things you say.
Hey, buddy.
Maybe you were having an off day. You must have thought that we were crapping.
Everything's good down here, Kenny.
Buddy, who you crapping?